Welcome to the Football Fill-In. We have got Dave Watson and a very pragmatic Mark Goldbridge. It's almost like he was resigned to the fact that United were going to lose yesterday. And is Phil Foden the best player on current form in the Premier League? We also have a look at two big refereeing mistakes at the weekend. Liverpool getting a 99th minute winner. And Jude Bellingham seeing red as Real Madrid get a goal chalked off in the dying seconds. Paul Pogba getting a 4-year ban. And finally, is Ollie Watkins worth 100 million quid? You can watch it tonight on Spotify at 5 p.m. and tomorrow morning on YouTube at 7:30 a.m. All ready for your morning commute.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita!
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right then, lads, we have to start with the big game, don't we? The Manchester derby. Before I get your opinions on it, Mark, I was going to text you guys, actually, yesterday before the game and say, lads, will you just send me a quick video kind of prediction, do you know what I mean, of how you think this game is going to go? I didn't. I totally forgot. However, if you would have sent them predictions through, I think you would have pretty much guessed what it was going to go like, right?
Yeah, I would have said 2-0.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't think Man United would score.
I was going to say 3-1.
All right. Yeah.
Man United.
No. I think it actually ended up being what most Man United fans would have accepted from where we are.
Yeah.
But it's funny that the hope kills you because you score the goal and then Man United fans are like, because it's that football's never that simple, is it? You predict it and you go, I'd probably take a 2-0 where we are at the moment. But look, I think, the Fulham game was more disappointing because you look at the league table and Villa and Spurs and the race for fourth and that was a bad loss. I think Man City was a bit of a free hit. But having said that, I think that I'm still frustrated with the fact that we defended well. I think all three goals were preventable and beyond the Haaland miss. They didn't really create loads of chances. They dominated the ball, but they didn't create loads of chances.
Do you know what? This is like a calm Mark today, isn't it? It's like he's not angry. He's just disappointed. It's almost like he's accepted it.
No, I think at the end of the day, Man City are so much better than Man United, and there's a reality around that. But I look at the game and I think that he set it up the right way, Ten Hag. I know he's got his critics. There's no other way you can set it up. And I thought the front four were crap. I thought they didn't hold the ball up enough to alleviate the pressure on the goalie and the defence. And actually, you know what? I got a lot of stick last night. I still stand by it. This guy's not for changing. I still think the referee made big calls that people might say, well, the 50-50, but they both led to goals. I felt it was a foul on Rashford. They went and scored. And I thought the keeper is anywhere else on the pitch. Not forget red card, it's a foul.
All right, we'll talk about them in a minute because I disagree with you on this one. But what I'm getting from you, I'm getting a bit of kind of, what's the word, Watto? He's just accepted it.
Accepted his fate.
You've accepted your fate. You and millions of Manchester United fans, it seems to me that they're kind of, well, this is just where we are now, so it's to be expected.
There's a lot of work to be done, isn't there? There's a lot of work to be done.
Should we talk about those big instances you were talking about then? Should we talk in particular, Watto, the Edison world-class tackle? This world-class tackle on the edge of the box with his foot. It was a thing of beauty, wasn't it?
Yeah, look, I think he got it absolutely spot on. Yeah. But I think any other player, or the 10 outfield players...
Yeah. Anywhere else on the pitch.
Yeah, he's not really... You can't say he's totally in control.
Yeah.
And I know there's not a rule in place that says the goalie is different... But I think they do deem that kind of tackle slightly different for the goalie. And he got it spot on.
He had to get it spot on.
I actually thought Garnacho for a minute were favourite. I really did. And I watch his leg and I think, did he just see him coming?
Yeah, he should.
Because I did think he could have just nicked it. And if he'd have nicked it...
Yeah, he fucking broke his leg.
That's why
it's a foul.
Yeah.
Rest my case, Your Honour.
It's a good point. I think
I've never really thought about that, but I've watched it 50 times and every time I see it, his legs are wide open.
Yeah.
He's off the ground, basically. Yeah. He's out of control. Yeah. If you saw a midfielder run and do that tackle, he's gone, isn't
it? It's a red card whether he gets the ball or not, isn't
it? Because the law is, are you endangering a player and are you out of control? Yes. But I think you make a great point. I think Garnacho, I didn't want to say it, but I think he pulls out a bit.
He pulls out a bit.
He probably does pull out a bit because he can see he's going to get one. Yeah. If I move that ball, Edison
had already made the decision. Yeah. Edison's already coming. So if he's going to nick it, his leg's going
to
be
Look, Edison's got to do it. I'm not saying he shouldn't do it. He's got to do it. But again, it's that grey area of refereeing, isn't it? And I think people need to learn the rules because I'm not wrong and you're not wrong. You know, it never gets given. But it should get given because we're trying to take this out of the game. But we're saying, and you're right, it's sort of an unwritten rule, a goalie can do that.
Well, the thing is that they're going to be saying that the goalies don't practice them kind of tackles and whatever. But even though the modern goalie plays higher and he plays that sweeper-keeper role, they don't normally tackle. But in that one instance, Edison was spot on his decision-making, the tackle. But the reality is, he's out of control.
Would you do that? Do you think that's just because Edison's a ball-playing goalkeeper that he's gone with his feet? Because a lot of goalkeepers wouldn't be comfortable to tackle like that, would they?
In my time, as a goalie, I'm sliding out and going with my hands.
But
the problem is, I've got scars up both sets of arms where the forward comes straight over the top and does me. Because as soon as I go to ground like that, I've got no protection.
Yeah.
I think that's where it's changed.
I think if you're coming out for that with your hands, I'm looking at the player that I'm coming out against as well. If I see it's Garnacho, honestly, I could go with my hands or my foot. It doesn't really bother me. I know that he's not going to want any of that kind of coming together, does he? He doesn't want it. But I think if it's a big bruiser of a player, I'm going with my feet. Yeah. I'm going with my feet because they will hurt me otherwise.
I remember an instance which would probably be exactly the same as that in the same area of the pitch. Arsenal at home to Man United. Ian Wright and Schmeichel. Can you remember
it? Yes, remember.
Same thing. Schmeichel comes with his feet and Wright, boom, bang, straight over the top.
Boom.
Obviously a different time, but that would...
Wright went two-footed, didn't he?
Naughty, weren't
he? He wanted to hurt him, but that's the point I'm making. If you come with your hands there, bang, and you're rebuilt.
We can talk about all these little instances, stuff that might have gone for and might have gone against them, but at the end of the day, the way the game played out, Man City just toyed with United, didn't they? It kind of, for me, it felt like they were just waiting. They were just waiting. Somebody will switch off eventually. They'll get tired and they'll just unpick it and they'll score some goals. And that's the way it went.
Yeah, I mean, you said it on the United Stand, didn't you? Like, you know, you play that game 100 times and restart it like you do on FIFA. You still get the same outcome. But that's why it's frustrating because it's like, I don't think Man City don't need help. And it just felt a little bit like, to me, that referee, the Rashford foul, people say it's soft, but the referee had already given three of them. And he'd already given three of them. It's the unwritten rule that when you get pulled back, you see a lot of attackers who just stop and go, come on, and the referee will go and give a foul. And then they go and score straight from it. The penalty, they score straight from it. So Man City deserved to win it, but it was a bit frustrating because I was just like... And then Amrabat's mistake at the end as well. It's like every goal really
kind of
was a bit avoidable.
I want to talk about the second goal, from a goalkeeper coach's perspective. Should Onana be saving that? Do you think he should get his hand down quicker?
I think at the top level in a massive game like that, he should do better.
Yeah.
I think there's a couple of points that lead up to it. I think Man United had accepted the fate and it would have slow death on the edge of the box. Casemiro gets done basically on a 1-2 high. He's tired, his legs have gone. Haaland makes a clever run just to take the second centre-half away, just to buy enough space.
Yeah.
But in that moment, I think it's really tough to get your hand down sometimes. But the modern way to get your left foot out and get a block, because to chop and get your left hand down is really hard.
Yeah.
But I thought he was so low in that one-on-one position that he has to come up to chop. And that's then why he gets his fingers.
He ain't got... He's not.
It's his body position. His body position. He gets so low that when you're in that low position like that, you can't chop your leg out because your studs are so planted into the ground. Whereas if you're up a bit, you're on your toes a bit more and you can kick your leg out much quicker. But it's kind of goalkeeping styles, but they'll teach you to kind of be up a little bit higher. Just a little bit higher.
I don't think as a goalkeeper, and obviously you two know more than me, Onana, from what I've seen of him this season, his big weakness is low shots. He can't get down.
There's a few gone in, even the third to an
that
extent.
That Palmer one at Chelsea.
I think the third one. I think it's so obvious that Haaland's. That's Haaland's big tal, isn't it? Is that open up? You can't. He runs round it and curls it into that far corner. That's his big tal. And I'm just thinking, you've got to read that a little bit more. But I don't think either way it changes the result.
I thought Onana had a good game, especially first half. There was a lot of crosses coming in, and actually,
he made some good saves.
He took the pressure on the corners and that. I actually thought he played really well. You're probably looking at two
good
examples.
Good save from Rodri as well.
Yeah, really good save.
You look at two examples of the goalies playing with the ball at the feet, and he were relatively calm. Yeah. You know what I mean? And played, and obviously Edison at the other end is phenomenal at it. I just thought for Man United, they were sat in there waiting. And as soon as he had to change the back four with Evans coming off and then putting Lindelof in and changing and chopping and changing, I thought Varane actually on the day were excellent. He cleared some unbelievable balls. But the amount of pressure that City have when you're sat deep and they keep getting the ball, rotating it, they always kept making them little corner runs to open a space.
Yeah.
Playing behind you, the legs just went in there.
I felt if I was Varane walking off the pitch, I'd have walked into the attackers, I'd have said to Bruno, Rashford, Anthony, Garnacho, I'd have said, look, we're never not conceding two.
Yeah.
If you don't score two, we're not going to win the game. And the third goal shouldn't happen. Amrabat makes a mistake. But I think the defence have done their side of the bargain. You know, we've kept them down to two at the Etihad as an attack. You've got to do more.
Yeah, you've got to get hold of it more.
Yeah, you've got
to
keep the ball and help us. You know,
help us get up the pitch. That's what they need to do. We've got to give Phil Foden a bit of love quickly. In the form that he's in at the minute, Watto, is he a guaranteed starter for England? Is he nailed on for that left-hand side for England?
Well, I think he's been Man City's standout performer all season. And if you're doing it for the biggest and best team in England and Europe, then you can't do any more. And I think he would deserve to start. It's then you're tinkering with positions. Does he replace Saka on the right hand side? Yesterday he switched and scored a goal from either side, so he probably is more flexible than a Saka. Bellingham is going to play at 10 for sure if we stick to 4-2-3-1.
But has Phil Foden ever come out and said his favourite position, by the way? Has he ever come out and said, no, this is where I love to play, and for England and the Southgate, I want to play here? Because I think we're getting to the point where he's putting in such good performances, right, that he has to. That has to be a question now. Harry Kane, guaranteed. But then I think we have to say to Phil, where do you want to play? Like, genuinely, where do you want to play in that front three?
I think he's spent most of his career happily stat padding in the Man City side, hasn't he? So he doesn't care. But my point is, it doesn't really matter, because when you play for Man City, I've got right wing, I've got Silva, I've got De Bruyne, or shall I go on the left wing? Whereas, you're right, for England, I don't think for Man City he has to say, I want to play number 10, because you move everywhere.
Yeah, they do.
You?
Man City do.
But for England, it's more structured. Yeah. So I personally think he should probably. I mean, Southgate doesn't know how to use him. So I think we're probably better off using him off the left. And I would actually say to Saka, look, I might want to swap this around a little bit. I'd put him on the left, because if you put him at the 10, what does that do to Bellingham? I'd put him on the left. I think he needs freedom. And I think he's got to start. He's got to start. I mean, the fact that he hasn't been a regular starter for England is incredible, because there's so much talent in that team, but he's got to start.
I think if this carries on till the end of the season, he's nailed on to start. And I'd like to see him on that left-hand side. I think if Saka's on the right, Kane up top, Bellingham just in behind, Foden on the left, fourth.
We're excited, aren't we? But you've got to do what Man City do and Guardiola. Be happy in the game. Get them changed over.
Yes.
Cause other full-backs or wing-backs, whatever shape we're playing against, problems. Mm. And have that fluidity and confidence to change. And know and trust that both players can change and interact and do the things.
That's why I think it just needs a little bit more of, what's the word? Freedom.
Yes.
Yeah, freedom.
Freedom. What a lovely word.
I think it's where big Gadget, big Southgate's got to come over and go, lads, right, you lot are unbelievable, okay? So sort of do what you want. Work hard. Thank you very much. Win us games. That'll do, yeah? Simple? All right, love that. Right, well, let's talk about Liverpool then. It was controversial, let's put it that, yeah? I thought Forest did really well in this game, sort of held on. 99th minute, Darwin Nunez winner. But all of the talk was about the minute and a half that led up to this Darwin Nunez goal. Watto, if you were stood on the side of that pitch and you were on that Nottingham Forest bench and that had just happened to you, would you have been as annoyed as what they were?
Yeah, I'd have been potentially yellow, maybe red card.
Stevie Reid got a red card, didn't he?
Excuse me. I always used to go and talk to the referees. post-game, on the pitch, quickly try and get a heads up of it, because the manager always asks you when you went in, what's he said, and then you'd go and see him afterwards. Yeah. You are so annoyed. Forrest played a real good game.
Yeah.
And to be fair, both teams wanted to win it, and that last 10 or 15 minutes,
carnage.
It was like ping pong.
Brilliant.
You have a chance, we have a chance. Football coaches, managers, you'd be absolutely raging. But the game went that way because the 3 points were more important than the point for either team.
Yeah, yeah.
So it were a great watch. Forest have done everything. It's a corner for Forest. Kelleher flattens Konaté, really.
Yeah, yeah.
And is it a head injury? Yes, it is. So you've got to stop the game. He's made a right arse of it where he's done it. And I think that's where Forest's problems lie, because if they would have had the ball and they'd have circulated it, probably gone back to their goalie and done whatever, the game's virtually done.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And I think you've got every right to question it. The hard thing is to accept in football, when you're the coach, manager or a player, that ultimately, for that last 90 seconds, whether he's made an arse of it or not, you've still got your job.
You've got to reset. You've got to reset.
Liverpool get a corner.
Yeah.
It's second or third phase. They had two opportunities to clear the ball. They didn't. McAllister gets the ball on the edge of the box and it's an unbelievable cross. But the goal really comes about because Van Dijk's, in that moment, managed to pull right onto the last man. And he's such a threat. The Forest defenders, half a yard behind him, and the middle of the pitch, they've pushed up, thinking they've got Nunes offside. But Van Dijk's such a threat, Nunes is getting played on in the middle.
Yeah.
I think the goalie for Forest got to be more proactive, A, on the cross, and B, in the 99th minute, you just cannot watch that ball fly.
You've got to go for it.
You've got to go for it.
Give it everything you've got. I agree with you. Quickly, before I want to ask your opinion on it as well. But I think at that point where McAllister is looking into the box and he's about to chip it, you know that he's not going to be able to whip it. You know he's not going to be able to shoot because he hasn't got his body position, not in a good enough position to be able to get that much power on the ball. So the only real viable option he's got is to do a lofty one in there. It's at that point, as a goalie, a real front-footed goalkeeper, you have to start nicking a few inches, a few steps and go, go on then, if you put it in there, I'm going to come either catch it, I'm going to punch it. Either way, I'm going to come and out my team. And he didn't. He stuttered. He didn't want to take that brave step into that little zone, did he?
No, for sure.
And I think if he would have done, that's an easy punch for
him.
I think
the lads in the middle wanted him to come because
they'd
crept up and got the yards. It were only Van Dijk's positions kept him onside. The lads in the middle had pushed and pushed to give him some working distance.
Yeah.
But he never adjusted his position from his goal line for the cross.
Yeah.
So he's sat in a deep position. They've pushed up hoping that there's a space to be dealt with. And
realistically, Darwin Núñez, as he's about to head of that, should have been thinking, I'm going to get my head punched off right now. That's what he should have been
thinking.
It looked
like the sort of goal that you should have been thinking in the first couple of minutes because people aren't switched on. Not in the 99th minute.
Yeah,
it was almost like I was expecting an offside because I just thought, I can't believe he's had so much space to get that in.
Get that free header.
And the player who doesn't boot it before McAllister wins it as well.
It's crazy.
Yeah, but look, I think the refereeing thing's interesting. I didn't know the rule. Yeah. So I was like, well, what's it all about? And then on the evening, I read
Even though you don't know the rule, you would have known as a Man United fan, if that had happened to you, that ball should not just be given back to the goalkeeper there.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And look, whether we know the rule, we can't judge ourselves as the referees. I didn't know that rule. I didn't know that when the ball is blown, if it's outside the box, it goes to a Forest player. Yeah. I didn't know that drop. But this is not... He's not a bloody surgeon. He's a referee in the Premier League. He should know that rule.
Without doubt. He should know
every single rule. Apparently, he did it in the first half. He did it the other way around to Forest, to get Forest it in the first half. So, you know, they've got a really good point there. But what I will say is, in complete fairness, because there'll be Arsenal fans and City fans going, rah, 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 it's not the same as having an onside goal not given.
Yeah.
And also, there's plenty... I mean, Hudson-Odoi's got it, puts a cross in the box, Kelleher gets it, boots it up the pitch. You know, there's still a lot of time to go. So I think that it's a bad decision, but I don't think we should start rewriting history. The fact that Liverpool still could have gone up the other end and scored, especially the way Forest defended in that last few minutes.
I want to ask you about Mark Clattenburg's role at Nottingham Forest. This is crazy, by the way. This is unheard of. They've appointed Mark Clattenburg basically as their... He will oversee any bad refereeing decisions that have gone against Nottingham Forest. So he will be the guy that will be talking to the Premier League, talking to the PGMOL, all that kind of stuff, and then liaising back with Nottingham Forest. But he has basically become Nottingham Forest's employee to do this.
Well, save the money. Give us 50%, and on a Monday morning, we'll tell everybody what's going on.
It's because not hard, is it?
Refereeing's not that hard. There's a rule book, and you can literally look at it and go, well, they got that wrong because of this, this, and this. There's no grey area in refereeing.
No.
There is with subjectivity and some of the stupid decisions we see every now and again where they... But I don't know what that's all about. I mean, he was sat next to Howard Webb in the FA Cup game between Man United and Forest, and I was like...
That's the only thing I thought is, have Forrest actually done really well here? Thought outside the box, and rather than their assistant, the manager, or whoever's responsibility is to make the call and start getting upset with the Howard Webb, the PGMOL, and all this stuff, and causing angst, is it a little deflector? Actually, they want the referees onside, and they might think Forrest might start and get a few more favours.
And actually...
It's gone wrong.
Howard Webb on Wednesday, and then they get this decision on Saturday, which is unbelievable.
But I just think they probably thought it might longer term, a bit of a long term thing.
We're going to talk about more of the Premier League's action in a minute, and also a bit of Real Madrid in a minute, because they scored a goal that was just disallowed. It was ridiculous. Quickly, Liverpool, are they going to win the Premier League? Dave Watson, yes or no?
No.
Mark?
I think the Man City game's massive, but I tell you what, games like that, if they do win it, that's what it's all about.
That's you didn't answer my question.
I think the Man City game next week's massive. If they win that, they win the league.
Yeah, you still haven't answered my question. Right,
what is it going to get?
That's why he's a good politician, isn't it?
I think Liverpool are going to win the league. Simple as that.
I still think Arsenal have got a good chance. I think they're just being left alone.
True that. I think Liverpool are going to win the league. I think they've just found a rhythm.
I think Man City might have a chance as well.
I think they might have a chance. Yeah, they might have a chance. Right, did you see Real Madrid at the weekend? Did you see this goal that I was just alluding to then a second ago? So, last kick of the game. Literally, we're talking last kick of the game. The ball's out on the wide. The player's about to cross it in and the referee blows. Full-time whistle. The ball goes into the box. They header. They score. Disallowed. Game ends as a draw. I'm going to come to you again, Watto, because if that was you on the sideline... How annoyed would you have been at that moment?
I'm off, aren't I? You're finished. You just can't quantify it. Look, if that ball comes in the box, he cannot not allow the second reaction.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be... That's we talk about all the time, about not blowing up in time and people getting hurt, getting injured. If you allow the phase of play to happen, rightly or wrongly, depending on the time that's eluded and gone or left or whatever, when that ball comes in the box, you can't blow.
No.
Because there's going to be a consequence.
Yeah, an action. There's going to be an action, doesn't it? It's as simple as that. He has to let that phase of play play out.
He has to let the phase of
come play. Come to a conclusion, whatever it will be. If it gets cleared, cool. If it goes in the back of the net, cool. Yeah. But you've got to let it play, haven't you?
You can't blow without letting the action that's about to happen. That's for sure.
And I think he's blowing, actually, when the cross is coming in.
Just about to kick it.
Yeah.
He's literally just about to kick the ball, and you see him put his whistle to his lips. I just don't get how... I don't know, maybe pressure. Maybe it's a pressure thing or something.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
I don't see how you can make that big of a mistake when you're refereeing a Real Madrid. It doesn't matter whose game it is, really. If you can see that he's about to put the ball into the box, just let it play out for another 5 seconds.
He's got to blow the whistle 5 seconds before he gets the ball in that position, or let the phase happen. You can't do it when he did it, because it's going to cause the moment that it caused. And it's an emotive game. Players, managers... If you think you've won a game at that point and there's X amount of people there and you've not heard the whistle, or what, you're going to go bonkers, aren't you?
Well, Jude Bellingham got a red card. It looks like it could be a 3-game ban as well, which is just is ridiculous. And, you know, you do feel for him. On the same side, you do have to try and, you know, temper your emotions at that moment in time. Try and keep it cool. Try and keep it calm. But it's impossible.
I think it's impossible. It doesn't matter what level you're playing at.
Yeah.
If you scored that goal on a Sunday morning to win a football match in whatever level,
the pub Sunday league,
and the ref blows at that cross.
Oh, mate, someone's getting chased off the pitch.
There could be a punch, couldn't there? It's getting madness.
It's horrible,
but that's the emotion. That's why we love football. Yeah. It's just really poor officiating.
We've got to talk about West Ham. Massive week for them. Massive week for David Moyes as well. 2 wins in a week, beating Brentford 4-2, and then they go and beat Everton 3-1, piling more pressure on them. But David Moyes' kind of future was in the balance, well, even a week ago, really, before these 2 games. Now, 2 wins... should be okay to the end of the season, at least, shouldn't he?
Yeah, and I think it's just, it's about what you want as a fan, isn't it? I think that football's changed a lot, probably from when we were watching it 10, 20 years ago, where managers weren't, you look at a league table with West Ham 7th, and you go, well, he's not in danger.
Yeah.
But fans these days are more opinionated, and I think some West Ham fans just don't like the style of football. But I don't get that. I don't get it, because you're not going to be seventh in the league, even with Moyes or without him. He's doing a fantastic job there. They've won a trophy. They're still in the Europa League. And, you know, beating Brentford and Everton is not an easy thing to do.
No.
And he's gone and got two results there. I think that the Moyes problem is that he probably just doesn't fit what West Ham fans want.
It's the style of football
and whenever they lose a couple of games, they'll be back on him again. But for what the job he's doing at West Ham has been incredible. That's the bottom line. Results-wise, the job he's doing is incredible. And obviously, since Paqueta's come back in the team, I think his stats are incredible, aren't they? Two wins coincide with him coming back in. They've won their last five in a row when he's started.
Yeah.
So he's an influential player. And when you're a club like West Ham, you know, we talk about United missing people like Martinez and Shaw and Hoyland. Well, it's even more important for teams like West Ham when you're losing a player like that.
Yeah, if a star player is down for a team like West Ham, it's a massive problem, isn't it? I was on TalkSport last week, Watto, and a lot of fans were ringing in about West Ham. And I said, listen, I think you've just got to be careful what you wish for, really. You know, they're seventh in the league. They're winning games. Not necessarily the sort of prettiest of football, but they're winning games. So I think you've just got to be a little bit, tread carefully, basically. West Ham fans were fuming, absolutely fuming, ringing in saying, no, it's about style of football. It's the way that we play. It's miserable to watch. They've just scored seven goals in the last two games.
Yeah, I'm with you. Look, David Moyes is tried and tested as a Premier League manager. A very, very, very good Premier League manager. And you have to be careful. The modern way and the style and how you go about your business, I think foreign coaches have come in, De Zerbi at Brighton, have showed you a way to play, and we could go on with the list. David Moyes does it a certain way. What they are doing now is like winning the Premier League, to be perfectly honest with you. But you can accept that West Ham fans will have a gripe about it. Look, Arioli had the performance of his life at Everton on Saturday.
I had him on my bench in FPL, by the way, obviously. Too, yeah.
Very good. Well done.
No, he don't know, get no know, points. You I don't know, play the game, you don't.
Well
obviously, he got 11 points, Jamie? 13 points!
The reality is, that's why the West Ham fans are upset. Not that they've not got a great goalie.
Yeah.
The fact that Everton dominated the game, their goalies had to make 9 or 10 saves, including a penalty save.
Yeah.
Everton, Dyche will not believe that they didn't get a point, never mind win the game. And then West Ham have gone and won the game. Suchek, the goal of his life.
Ah, beautiful.
6'4" chest, outside right foot. But the reality is, that's what West Ham are. But they're still like winning the Premier League with what they're doing. Now, ultimately, if he'd have gone and been a De Zerbi type manager and gone and been expansive and Everton had pressed the life out of them and they'd have got beat 2-1, what do the West Ham fans want? Do they want us to have played really well at Everton, but we've got beat?
Yeah.
Or did they want the goalie to perform like he did? That's the football they play. And in the end, they come out 3-1 winners because David Moyes has instilled something in them. The recruitment's been right for how he wants to play, what they want to play, characters, personality, digging in every week. And they've had two unbelievable wins. And now they're in seventh, which is like winning it for them.
Yeah. If you were a West Ham fan, would you be happy with David Moyes?
No, I wouldn't, because I think when you look at, like you say, De Zerbi, Fulham, there are some mid-table teams that play much better football than West Ham. But the reality is, it's always about winning and it's always about competing, and the grass ain't always greener. I agree with West Ham fans. Moyes had him at United. At Everton, it's not great to watch. And I'm sure Everton did have more of the chances, but you can't argue with results.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, isn't it? And look, De Zerbi, it's been turned over by Luton 4-0. He got turned over by Fulham. Was it 3-0 at the weekend?
3-0, yeah.
So, you know, the grass ain't always greener.
I want to talk about Aston Villa, lads. Fourth in the league. I genuinely feel they go a little bit under the radar. I do. I feel they go a little bit under the radar. They're not really getting the respect that they deserve. A fantastic 3-2 win away against Luton, which is a double tough place to go. Ollie Watkins, another two goals. Do you know, Ollie Watkins, right? I think if somebody was to try and buy Ollie Watkins, he's going to I think he'll cost the best part of 70, 80 million quid. Yeah? But I don't think anybody would want to buy Ollie Watkins. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah. I mean, more.
Do you know what I mean?
Grealish for 100,
do you know what I mean?
Didn't they? Yeah. Villa won't sell him for any less than 100. But you're right. I don't think anyone would pay it. But I think if you put him up front, I've said it 2 months ago, when Arsenal were looking for a striker, I said, you put Ollie Watkins up front for Arsenal, he's going to score you 10 goals between now and the end of the season in the Premier League. That probably wins you the league.
Yeah.
A player like that is absolutely invaluable, and he probably doesn't get the credit he deserves. I mean, he's in my fantasy Premier League team.
He's captain this week, mate.
Every goal, every game.
But we worry for England normally with Harry Kane missing.
Yeah.
But you put Watkins in the England team, and I've seen him fortunately enough live. But you watch the game at the weekend. He would add a different dimension to the England team. The runs, the dynamic of it, and we're obsessed with Harry Kane because Harry Kane is a world class player.
Yeah.
But having him behind him as an option and to change the dynamic of a game with the potential firepower that England have got, is he worth 100 million quid? Probably nobody's ever worth 100 million quid. Is he a 60 to 70 million pound player? Yes. Do I think other teams who are chasing that top four will be looking at him now? I think they'll want him to do it again and again and again. But this is his second season where he's hitting the ground and doing a fantastic job. And I think the bigger teams will be certainly thinking he would add a different dimension to our game.
Yeah,
for sure.
16 goals for the season now, only two behind Erling Haaland. It's, you know what I mean? It's double impressive. And I think if he was a Spanish or Brazilian, I think there'll be clubs lining up to buy him.
What is he, about 28 as well, isn't he? But also, I think on the Villa thing, I just think when we're talking about manager of the year and stuff, I mean, Emery is just incredible. We United beat them, and look, it was a, you know, Villa probably should have got a draw at least, but they've responded to that. I think they've won their last three in a row, and they've not been easy games. I think they went to Fulham and won.
Yeah.
They've beaten Luton, which isn't which is a tough game, and obviously they'd had a couple of losses, hadn't they? They lost in the cup at Villa Park, and people were like, "Oh, the Emery train's come off the rails," and it hasn't. That midfield, I mean, they lost the midfielder for an injury, Kamara. Jacob Ramsey's come in. They've got Tillemans. They've got McGinn. They've got Douglas Luiz. They're a fantastic team. I think they'll finish fourth. I think they'll finish above Spurs.
For all you talk about in that game, though, the first four goals are all set plays.
Yeah.
So, you know, like we talk about these set piece specialists and all that. The game at two apiece were four set piece goals.
Yeah.
And then, to be fair, Luton think they've done the bits really, and probably think they're going to go on and win it. And then they just the right back switches off and Digne gets in. It's a fantastic goal, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But going back to Watkins, I think most teams would take him. I mean, obviously Villa are in the top four anyway, so Villa now have got the resources that they don't need to sell him.
Keeping him
and Martinez will be very two statements. And if they can keep Luiz in the middle of the field, they've got like the central areas tied down. And I don't think Villa need to sell anymore.
Yeah, love that. Okay, we're going to talk about Paul Pogba in a minute. Just been given a four-year ban. I want to talk about Chelsea quickly, though, because another disappointing result for them. 2-2 against Brentford. Leaves them 11th in the league.
Is this true? Singing for Jose.
Things are
getting really bad at Chelsea.
This is
what owes team for this season.
I know. Well, it could be worse. They could have been singing for me.
These are your dark horses for the season. Pochettino having a tough time at the minute. So much so that in the game on Saturday, Chelsea fans were heard singing, basically, we want Jose Mourinho back. Is that going to happen?
Well, it's clueless because there's three things about Jose. One, he don't like youth players and they're full of youth players. Two, he would want to buy three or four players that are ready to go and they've got the money for it. Yeah. And three, he's a busted flush. He's finished. He's finished. He cannot. What are they singing for? What are you singing for?
The good times. That's what they're singing for.
They're singing because they want to win a trophy. And yes, they were my
How much room is there in the DeLorean? Because they need Michael J. Fox to take them back 10 years. Fucking hell, Jose Mourinho. Look, I love Jose. He's box office, but he ain't coming into the Premier League. He's been there with the United and Spurs. He's going to make them get tight, compact. They'll hate it. And then they'll throw him under the bus again. They've already had.
They might as well get David Moyes in, haven't they?
Yeah.
Do you know what? That's what they would need, somebody like that, genuinely. But I don't think it matters who you put in charge of Chelsea at the minute. They've got too many kids, too many young players, too many long contracts, and it's just not going to work.
Well, the Chelsea model has obviously now broken, failed.
Yeah. I don't think
the manager is in big trouble, whoever he is in there. Because of all the things you've just said, and it's difficult for anybody. I thought he would have got more of a tune out of it. I actually feel really bad for him because I actually think he's a good manager and he's going to be like another one at Chelsea. Reputation's going to be tarnished a little bit. But for all the quality that they have and what he had at Tottenham, he's still not won a trophy in England.
Yeah,
with losing last week, and they did everything but win, didn't they?
It was a fantastic point for Brentford either way. They could have actually nicked it at the end. Reguilón, I think.
What a goal the bicycle.
Oh, yeah. Lovely.
Whizzer. What
but I think it's another one. It should be a regular section. I think if you put Ollie Watkins up front for Chelsea,
yeah,
they'd be a lot better.
Well, I mean, without
to
doubt.
Not, they yeah. don't have a striker.
Well, Jackson had the chance, didn't he? Yeah. He gets round yeah. Flecken and the finish is powerful.
He's not a natural finisher, though, is he? Ollie Watkins, that's what he thrives on, those half chances. He can sniff them all out. All right, lads, let's talk about Paul Pogba. He's just been handed a 4-year ban from the game of football. You know, this is some sort of a fall from grace, really. I think what we're talking, 6-7 years ago, wins the World Cup on the top of his game. And by the time this ban finishes, he'll be 35 years old. Now, don't get me wrong, I know he's saying he's innocent, his team are going to appeal it. But I just wanted to talk about how kind of anti-doping works in football and how, basically, how hard it is to be found guilty, okay? So, random drug testing happens in football all the time. You could get done, you could not get actually tested randomly per season, or you could get randomly tested 5 or 6 times. It's as simple as that. You get done at the beginning of the season, you get done halfway through the season by your clubs, and you are told what you can and can't take. And if there's any supplements, anything that you are looking to take away from the football club, away from that environment, then you need to have it double-checked by somebody within the football club, don't you? It's as simple as that. It needs to all be informed by sport, like tested, all that kind of stuff. So to actually get a positive sample, it's a big deal, and it's not the sort of thing that happens in football at all, is it? What?
No, it doesn't happen lightly. Look, football clubs are really on top of all the players with this, because you can't even miss a drug test. So if you phoned in this morning and you're not coming in, yes, somebody goes upstairs and tells the manager, but the next call is to the drug test
to the
anti-doping, he's not here today. So if you're coming to test, he's not here.
And then I will have to say my whereabouts. Nope. So I have to give him a 2-hour window. So if I called in sick then today, I have to text myself personally this phone number. It's the anti-doping whatever at the FA. I have to text this number and say, Ben Foster, whatever football club, not in training today, will be at my home address, which is this, between the hours of 9 and 11 this morning. And that's your 2-hour window. Once that 11 o'clock passes, you're free to go about your day as whatever you want. But you have to do that, don't you?
Yeah, there's a window at any part of the day where they can come, home or away.
Yeah.
And if you're not there, it's a strike.
It's a strike.
It's happened, Rio Ferdinand had it many years ago.
If you say where you are, either at the training ground or at your home, and they come at that time when you've said you're going to be in this place, that's a strike. And it's that serious now. So he's in big trouble.
This happens all year round as well, by the way. This can happen in the summer. Do you know? So when the season finishes, and say you go away on holiday to, I don't know, Ibiza for 2 weeks, you can feasibly get tested any time there. Somebody can randomly come and knock on your hotel room. And
it happens.
Yeah, and it happens. It has happened. That's how stringent they're getting on this now. I just think there's so much put in place now from football clubs to make you so aware of what you can and can't take. To be found guilty the first time and then have his B sample tested and that be found guilty as well, there's obviously something in there. It's as simple as that.
And I think with Pogba as well, look, fantastic talent. And I think he has done things in the game, like he's won the World Cup, he won titles at Juventus, and he won things at United. But as a talent, I don't think he, for whatever reason, ever really hit the heights that he could have done, because I think he could have gone down as, maybe not as good as a Zidane, but he did have the talent. But I mean, I think a lot of people's reaction to it is that, look, if he's done the crime, he's going to pay the time. But I think he was done anyway. The injuries were stacking up. And I was quite surprised when it broke on Friday, because I was like, I'd almost thought he'd retired.
The thing is, it's going to be interesting to see what it's actually for, because the thing with football is it's not necessarily, you don't really need to be a drugs cheat, do you, in football?
No.
It's not going to give you that much benefit, because it's such a skill-based game. The drugs don't really, they're not going to benefit you so much. Compare that to something like a cycling and like something where there's real power. That's the main part of the sport.
It's going to make you play like Phil Foden, is it?
Exactly that. So it's going to be interesting. Hopefully it's something where it's a massive mistake and he can get found not guilty. We'll all just wait and see. Do you know what the time is, lads?
Quiz.
Come on!
Quiz. I've been on fire lately. I've been on fire. I know you've been on your holidays, you haven't been around, but I've been on fire lately. All right, then, quiz time. Jamie is the quiz master. He's just got back from a heavy weekend in Hungary, Budapest. So apologies if the questions aren't up to much today. We ready, boys?
Yeah.
Good to go, Jay.
Yeah,
Come on, I'm all good.
Love your rid to me, though, as well. Question one. Which club was expelled from League One in August 2019? Which club was expelled from League One in August 2019?
I know this. Do you?
Yeah.
Macclesfield?
No.
Rochdale?
No. Five. Four.
It's up there, I know it is.
Three.
Scunthorpe?
No, it is Bury.
I knew it was up there.
Bury got expelled.
Same thing. It's all up north.
You should have known that.
I knew it was around Manchester.
I didn't know that.
So, well, you guessed around there, Macclesfield, so far.
Nil. No correct answers. Question two.
Well done, Jamie. Very on the ball this one.
We definitely didn't want you on the screen today, mate.
This is Albert.
First
just
question, you got it all wrong. So that's nil.
Yeah.
Still nil.
Question two. Who am I? Question. I started my career at KTP in Finland. Spanish legend Raul was my teammate at Schalke. I've scored 87 league goals for Norwich City and now play. Mark Goldbridge has
Timo.
Got the yep.
I was thinking they got this striker.
We were all close.
For South. I was thinking of Jesse Askelainen at first.
Yeah. That was close, that was.
Question three. In the Man City versus Luton FA Cup game, how many assists did Kevin De Bruyne get?
Five.
Four is the correct answer. Watto.
Boom!
Didn't watch it. Shit. Rubbish. Can't be bothered.
We love the FA Cup. We love it.
Yeah.
No, cool. I like the FA Cup. I don't like City.
We know that.
I wonder why. Question four.
Why, Jay?
Because he's a United fan.
All right.
Question four. Who is the only South African to have played in the Premier League this season?
Fortune.
Ben McCarthy.
No.
Well out this season.
This season.
Oh, my God.
Oh, gosh.
Only South African this season.
This season,
I'm glad
yes.
I'm glad I'm out, actually.
And me.
Because I don't fucking know.
I have not got a clue.
I don't know it.
It is Lyle Foster. Place of Burnley.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
I did not know that.
I didn't.
Done quite well.
So the scores are 1-0-1.
Well done, Jay.
Question five. Which club plays at Adams Park?
Wycombe Wanderers.
Wycombe Wanderers is the correct answer, Watto.
I can't help you today.
Yeah. Question six. Name a goalkeeping father and son that played in the Premier League, excluding the Smichaels. So you're both out, so it's just Mark.
Oh, come on!
Because my answers don't count, because he said it before
you both
me.
Said it, you both
hold
said
on
it.
A minute, you said the same thing as me.
You have to wait till the question finishes. Name a goalkeeping father and son that have both played in the Premier League, excluding the Smichaels.
No fucking cheating. Oh, cheating here!
Gone.
Brian and Angus.
Oh, come on. You've got that on video, Luke. You've got that on video, cheating.
I think that is cheating.
That is cheating. Points off!
He's minus one.
He always gets points off. It's bollocks.
He's always shooting me.
Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with it.
God, I'm sorry.
I don't care.
That's the minus one.
You're on minus one, Ben.
Yeah, good, Jay.
Cheating.
You don't get a point. No point.
I don't get the point.
But minus one for cheating.
I wouldn't have got it.
Good analysis, Luke. Well spotted.
Can't have this on the quiz.
You can't have it on there. He's professional.
Weekend away, he's toughened him up.
Absolutely.
Took a point off.
How many's left?
Four.
We still got.
So two, minus one. I'm one.
It's
a good
question.
Go to Budapest
quiz
every
history.
Week.
Question seven.
I like this tough today, mate.
Career path. I have played for Bayern Munich 2, Bayern Munich, Manchester United, Manchester City.
Owen Hargreaves
is the correct answer. Yeah.
Zero, mate, zero.
That's such a rubbish rule, minus.
No, it's fair. You were so out of order there.
Question eight. Who did Tottenham sign in 2023 for Sporting CP Lisbon for approximately
Porro.
€400 million?
Pedro Porro
is the correct answer.
How much?
€14 million.
You said 400 then.
I did not say 400.
You 100%
did.
What chance have you got?
Play it back, Luke. Play it back right now.
For approximately €400 million.
400 million euros. pounds.
There's never been a player in the history for 400 million.
I still got it. Yeah, even with the wrong information, I still got it.
Did you read the answer?
Is that 2-2?
2-2, nil. Question 9. Nicolas Anelka went on loan to what Premier League top six side?
Liverpool.
Liverpool is the correct answer. 2001 to 2002.
You could still get a three-way, yeah.
You could, yeah.
And then you could moan about the minus one.
Final question.
Come on now.
Question 10. Luis Suarez joined Liverpool from which
Ajax
team in 2011?
That's the worst question ever.
What do you mean it's the worst question?
That's the worst question ever.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I'm back. I was worried about myself, you know. I was losing too many.
Yep, so back. Mark Goldbridge with the win on the quiz. Well done, Mark.
Don't doubt me. Don't doubt Moyes. And don't doubt me on the quiz.
Yeah, but you tried to cheat, so we can't defend it.
It's been a long time. It's been a long time since I've won. Get in!
I'm happy for you, mate. Well done. That puts you on 8, which is 1 point behind me. What turn am
I? I like the addition of the minus points for cheating.
I don't.
Is good.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was helping you out.
Smash a like if you like that.
Yeah.
Like
well done, everybody. Jamie, bang average today. Bang average.
What do you mean?
Strong quiz master. Get back to Budapest, though. I love it.
Week, all right. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next week. Football Film.